Hello, good evening to you and welcome once again to Heart Factor Nigeria in Food Her Input Harker to number one talk station. I'm Dial. 10 minutes gone past 4 o'clock. Discussions continue, and arguably the most anticipated event in Nigeria at the moment is not D-Day, January 31st, when the old notes will no longer be legal tenders, even though that's obviously a much anticipated event. But even more than that, the most anticipated event in the country, and possibly even beyond the country, the general elections, which kick off next month, February, late February and early March as well. And understandably, most conversations at the moment, especially in the political sphere, is centered on next year's elections, understandably, next month's elections, rather. We are in 2023 after all. And understandably as well, political parties, politicians are talking about the elections and what to expect, and expectations, aspirations, hopes as far as the elections are concerned. And the River State Governor also is weighing in on this. And this featured on our news yesterday, I believe it was yesterday. River State Governor Yusuf Wike says no election in Nigeria has been free and fair since 1999. Governor Wike said this while speaking as a special guest at the 2023 Port Harcourt International Conference held at the Obiwali Cultural Centre yesterday, of course. Let's take a listen to what the Governor said on this. Well, pardon me, 2 days ago, rather.
In a democracy, periodic elections are the only legitimate means for the peaceful transfer of power from one party to another. Since 1999, Nigeria has had 6 general election cycles, but none was considered substantially free and fair. None of the defeated contestants believed they lost fairly and blamed the umpire, the security agencies, and politicians for undermining our democracy with brazen electoral fraud.
Now, the governor also said that the 2023 general election holds a brighter future for the country's democracy with the introduction of technology in the new electoral law.
Several election regions threaten our democracy and constitute an existential challenge to the nation's future stability. Therefore, deepening democratic culture and institutions for sustainable development and security is important to us as a nation. And free and fair elections with integrity remain the only path to achieving these objectives. The new electoral law, especially with the provisions of the use of technology, holds the prospect for a brighter democratic experience for Nigeria if implemented effectively.
Let's talk about this for a moment. Well, former President Olusegun Obasanjo was also there. He said democracy is an evolving process with principles. He urged Nigerians not to allow failures of the past to deter them from embracing democracy. But I'm asking you at this time, the focus of our conversation has to do with the River State Governor's comment at this event. So I'm asking you, what in your estimation, what do you consider to be the biggest challenge to free and fair elections in Nigeria? Join the conversation. We're live on facebook.com/NigerianInfoPH. We're live on Twitter at NigeriaInfoPH. Also, check us out on YouTube. The number to call at the appropriate time, 0700-93093. But joining me in the studio at this time for this conversation as well is Dr. Chidi Lloyd, who's chairman, Emohua Local Government Area. Dr. Lloyd, good evening to you. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Thanks, Daya, for having me.
And happy New Year to you. This is your first time in the studio this year.
Yes, the first time you've invited me.
Good to have you here.
Thanks.
Let's get right to it then. You heard the governor's comments. We did read from our bulletin a while ago. I also played back his words as well, saying that since 1999, there's been no widely accepted free free and fair election in the country. Do you agree with the governor's position? Let's start from there.
Absolutely, but we must put that in a context. The governor spoke within a context, and I was happy when you played back his the audio of that speech. He said, since 1999, those who have lost elections one way or the other have not accepted that the process was free and fair. So it was not as if the governor said no elections had been adjudged free and fair, but losers often cry foul. That's the point he's trying to make. You get the point? It was said within a milieu, contest.
I'm not sure I got that context, but let's say the governor again and try to decipher the context.
In a democracy, periodic elections are the only legitimate means for the peaceful transfer of power from one party to another. Since 1999, Nigeria has had 6 general election cycles, but none was considered substantially free and fair. None of the defeated contestants believed they lost fairly and blamed the umpire, the security agencies, and politicians for undermining our democracy with brazen electoral fraud.
Now, just because a person is a sound loser, and I don't know anywhere in the world where elections hold, and those who lose do not cry foul at some point and say that, oh, I didn't lose this election.
No, there have been plethora of cases where people...
Pardon me, Mr. Law. So just because there's a sound loser, does that mean the process is not free and fair?
That's it. Once you have a fair loser, he blames everybody. He blames everything around. For example, I give you the case, the River State now. We know that there is no other political party here. Forget the gerrymandering, forget what you say. In terms of preparation to win elections, okay? Tomorrow, of course, a loser will emerge somehow, and the most populous party would win. And they come up tomorrow to say, oh, they were rigged that, oh, the process was not transparent and so on. That's the point the governor was making, that since 1999, none of the elections have come in a way that people have willingly congratulated the other. And that is not to say that in other jurisdictions, people don't congratulate. You understand?
Mm.
It was President Jonathan who considered victory to President Muhammadu Buhari via a phone call. There has also been other jurisdictions where people lose and they call to congratulate the opponent, without necessarily going to the tribunal, blaming everybody, when you know you couldn't have defeated the winner. Because elections, like I always say to people, the electoral process and elections is not an event, it's a process. So if you are preparing for elections, It will have to do with how did you perform. Assuming you are an incumbent government, what was your performance? If you are talking to your people, what would you tell them you brought home? The plebeians would ask, what legacy followed Caesar home? You know, so those are the points that people make, and these are the things that matter in electoral victory. So it's not enough for anybody to say, oh, they use the police. Oh, but there are instances where it is clear that there were some kind of intimidation, where the police or the army was used to chase people and so on. But you cannot... The point is, the governor didn't say none of the elections. That's the point I want you to have, that the governor spoke within a contest.
So now, considering that your context, your perspective to the governor's comment is debatable and subject to interpretation,
mm-hmm.
might we go with what may be considered as the more general perception of the governor's words, which is that since 1999 there's been no free and fair elections in the country?
That will form the basis of our discussion.
But I've noted your context.
Okay.
But I will ask you my next question regardless. And that is, now, based on the governor's words, the lack of free and fair elections since 1999, does this... You sound like you're preempting my next question. Does it include the elections that the governor himself has won?
No.
And also the ones that end you as well, elective positions in River State.
As if I knew you were going here, you were coming to this.
Yeah.
I did say, and you said you had considered to me. I don't know, these questions shouldn't have come.
No, I didn't say I'd considered.
But then, even the governor's election, even the elections that brought the governor, especially the 2019 general election, you also saw what happened. How the people of Ogubolo, the women of Ogubolo, came out in their numbers and stood vehemently in opposition to whatever that was there, in form of intimidation and so on. You saw what happened. You saw the massive outcry that came from Kana, where people came out to defend their votes. So assuming you had a docile electorate, what would have happened? That's the point. That's the point I want you to understand. It was not as if the governor had put a huge question mark on the elections that brought him. No. And that will form the basis. Once you understand that, we'll have a conversation.
Okay, so you're saying that the elections that brought the governor into office were free and fair? And
no, they may not have. They may not have been to an extent. It was not devoid. The elections may not have been devoid of attempts at wanting to manipulate the process.
So,
but the governor's, the governor's supporters, the electorate stood and withstood whatever it was that came.
So, were they free and fair or were they not free and fair?
When a process is tampered with, it may not be free and fair. But what I'm telling you is that the people stood and they spoke loudly with their votes.
So it wasn't free and fair then?
Now, the process.
The process.
Yeah, but the good candidate won at the end of the day. That's the point I want you to make.
Okay.
I want you to understand.
Noted as well. Now, what would you say are the biggest challenges or hindrances to free and fair elections in Nigeria?
Well, the world over, what makes I like you to look at it this way: the opposite of the things that makes an election free and fair. There has to be inclusiveness. There has to be transparency on the part of course, the electoral empires, right? Then the process must be the data must be open. For instance, INEC is giving out permanent voter cards. Nobody should be foreclosed. From once you're registered and your card is there, nobody should be stopped from going to pick his or her cards. And on the part of the citizens too, they must be responsible enough. INEC has extended the dates for collection and so on and so forth, moved it to the wards. Yet people are still, now they've brought it back to the local government headquarters, people are still trooping in their numbers to go get the cards at the local government headquarters. But they were in the wards. So on the part of the electorates, they too need to be more responsible and responsive, so that we do not blame every process, even when you, as a citizen, you're not doing what you ought to do.
Interestingly, you didn't point any fingers at the political parties or politicians.
We the politicians are the main problem, the main problem of the electoral process. Like you said earlier, you talked about bad losers. People don't prepare for elections. You have no pedigree. You haven't brought home anything, you know, that will warrant the people to vote for you or your party. All you do is go to one obscure party, bring it by form. Some they even become candidates online. Then you wait until when a man who has toiled day and night wins you, then you cry foul. That's not the kind of thing I envisage. So if you want to win, it's just like a student who wants to pass an exam but doesn't read, doesn't attend classes. What magic would you do? We're here now for, like, I want to use autonomous examples. The People's Democratic Party in River State. It is audible to the deaf. It is visible to the blind. That there is no other party to beat. And I tell you this on good authority. I am a consummate politician. I've been on the other side. What I see preparatory to elections now, what was, where I was, are not the same. It was a huge joke. With what I'm seeing now, comparatively, who had not prepared for either of the elections.
If it were just a case of sour or bad losers, maybe the electoral process would not be as fraught with irregularities as it is. But there must be something that parties and candidates or politicians in general do that masks the process, even before we get to the point of losing.
Now I tell you this, Badayo. You see, the process is heated up already, that the courts, politicians have left the arena. Most of them have moved to the courts. As I speak to you, it is not clear which candidate of the party will fly what flag. You recall what happened in the case of the Akwa Ibom North senatorial district, where the resident electoral commissioner had come out to say, look, this other faction of the political party did not play according to the rules, did not respect the rules of engagement. And the resident electoral commissioner wrote his report that no primaries were held by this faction. These were the faction that wrote to INEC. And
can you hold that thought, please, Dr. Lord? We have to go for a commercial break now. We'll return shortly. Conversation will continue. Please stay with us.
This is is Nigeria's number one talk radio station. Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info. We are back.
Welcome back to Heart Factor Nigeria Info and Herring Put Harker, the number one talk station. I'm Dad. Discussions are still on. Governor Yemi Osinbajo says no election in Nigeria has been free and fair since 1999. The governor said this while speaking as a special guest at the 2023 Put Harker International Conference held at the Obiwale Cultural Center. Let's take a listen to him again.
In a democracy, periodic elections are the only legitimate means for the peaceful transfer of power from one party to another. Since 1999, Nigeria has held six general election cycles, but none was considered substantially free and fair. None of the defeated contestants believed they lost fairly and blamed the umpire, the security agencies, and politicians for undermining our democracy with brazen electoral fraud.
He also said the 2023 general election holds a brighter future for the country's democracy with the introduction of technology in the new electoral law.
Several election regions threaten our democracy and constitute an existential challenge to the nation's future stability. Therefore, deepening democratic culture and institutions for sustainable development and security is important to us as a nation, and free and fair elections with integrity remain the only path to achieving these objectives. The new electoral law, especially with the provisions of the use of technology, holds the prospects for a brighter democratic experience for Nigeria if implemented effectively.
One of the biggest challenges to free and fair elections in Nigeria, once again, join the conversation via Facebook and Twitter at Nigerian for PH. The phone number line to call will be open shortly. But once again, I have Dr. Chidi Lodge in the studio, Chairman of MOHA LGA. You're welcome once again.
Thanks for having me.
Before the break, I asked the question, you're responding to it. And the question has to do with the role that political parties and politicians play in ensuring that we don't have free and fair elections.
I was saying to you that the stage is already heated, and I tell you, I also said that the politicians are most of the problems that we have in the system. When we create these problems, we now rush to courts, and when the courts interpret the law as the strictest sense of the way it should be, then we begin to cry foul. Oh, the judiciary has done this, the judiciary has done that. Now look at the situation, the point in hand. The primaries that brought forth Eno Umar, the candidate of the People's Democratic Party, Akwa Ibom State until yesterday. Okay? Now, there was a judgment of the Federal High Court Abuja on the 18th of May of 2022. Presiding Justice Eguato had ordered restraining INEC from using the list, his list of ad hoc delegates to conduct the primary elections. The party defied the court order and continued. They used the list to conduct the primary elections. And Aminu Fadama, on the 20th of February, they came up with another judgment. On 20th of January of 2023, had said no and declared Inyong, Michael Inyong, as now the candidate of the PDP in Akwa Ibom. You see the process, you see the confusion. All that would have happened was for the PDP in Akwa Ibom State to obey the judgment of Justice Eguato of 18th, as delivered on the 18th of May of 2022. Now it carried on in that recklessness. And of course, backfire against UAC. You cannot put something on nothing. That was the case that happened here in River State when we were Ibrahim Omar and 22 others. So once there is, you see, the confusion is caused by politicians. Most of the problems that now leads ultimately to what you call credible, transparent, and so on. Today, the election petition tribunal and all the governor, the elections that brought in Governor Adeleke of Osun State, the tribunal has annulled it. And of all the things that was there, the irregularities. No election has been annulled by the courts for compliance to the provisions of the electoral law. It has always been for non-compliance. Okay, but who are those who want to comply? The politicians. So when we set the rules for ourselves, you cannot make a law for yourself and not follow it. Then you rush to court and plead internal affairs of the party. when the party makes rules for itself, we are, for God's sake, we must abide by those rules that we have made. If not, then nobody will be asking for guidelines for conduct of primaries and so on. So when you take time out to write for yourself guidelines, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, then on the other hand, you don't comply with them. Now when the courts interpret the law the way it is, we are the first to accuse them of bribery and corruption. It's unfortunate.
One of the biggest challenges to free and fair elections in Nigeria, I imagine, as most persons would imagine as well, is electoral violence. Either especially before, during, and sometimes even after the elections also. You find thugs, hoodlums being hired by politicians and parties, attack, supporters of opposing parties, even candidates. In some extreme cases, we've had people even assassinated and killed as well, all because of elections. And even here, in Rivers State, we've had a fair share of that already in the build-up to the elections. Supporters of certain parties.
Build up to this forthcoming election or the previous ones?
No, this one, the coming one.
No, well, not to my knowledge. Well, of course, there are more than 53 political parties. Any of those could hire talks.
They have, of course,
not the People's Democratic Party.
We don't
have any need.
Well, they have been accusations by supporters of certain parties.
Normally, when students don't read for exams, they blame the teacher.
That when they've gone for campaigns, they have been attacked. And in some cases, it's been alleged, especially one party's name that comes up frequently in these allegations is, incidentally, your party.
That's the party to beat.
Incidentally.
Of course, that's the party to beat.
If members of your party have accused your party
of
attacking them, those who are campaigning for your presidential candidate, Atiku, have alleged that members of your party have attacked them as well.
I read them in literature. So most times it comes to me as tales by moonlight.
This conversation is not to determine which party is responsible for the country.
So that we do not lose focus.
Precisely.
Absolutely.
To what extent does electoral violence affect our elections?
Well, just as the name implies, violence, nothing can happen in a state of violence. And if you listen to the second segment of the governor's expose, he did say that the electronic system offers a new ray of hope. Okay? INEC has done, flowing from the provisions of the 2022 Electoral Act that now has brought in the beavers and so on. If what we are told is anything to go by, there will be no need for anybody to throw sand at each other.
But campaigns isn't as much an integral part of the electoral process as well, because political parties and their candidates must sensitize the electorate and must present themselves before them
to
as
the
well
people, absolutely.
Before election day.
Absolutely.
Now, if that process is truncated or is not allowed to happen seamlessly by whatever political party or parties or candidates who hire thugs, whoever they may be, that in itself hampers the electoral process.
No, that, you know, absolutely. Well, you see, I'll keep telling people to situate criminality. It is not enough. There is nobody known as People's Democratic Party. So that if I come into your studio and I attack you, please say to the police that Chidi Lloyd came to my studio and attacked me. Don't say the people of Emohua. Situate crime, situate criminality. So whoever is attacked at the venue of any campaign rally, I'm sure you will, for them to complain to you on air in via radio info, right? That's where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Now, which means they are alive to tell the story. They should be able to know those who attacked them and make a complaint to the police. It is the duty of the police to arrest and punish offenders. We will want to know those people and to find out whether they are real members of our party. Because if there is anything the governor has done, is to educate us from time to time to abhor violence. We cannot be the ones to pull down the house we have built. The governor has done so much. Just yesterday, the Julius Berger, in a collaboration with some partner that organized the seminar, what was it about? Deepening democracy. That was the subject of the governor could not have wasted his time with the former president come to a place just to talk about how to deepen democracy. The governor is concerned. He's concerned that we do not allow these mushroom political parties, these pseudo political parties, to come and want to truncate the process in River State. A government that has delivered 12 bridges, 10 has been commissioned, 2 are on their way. What else?
But that's,
that has changed the narrative.
But that's a democratic process.
That's what I'm saying. You, so we don't
You may call them mushroom if you want.
No.
The law allows
I regret the use of words. Political parties, to the extent that they are registered under the laws of federation, right?
Absolutely.
Even if they do not have offices in Port Harcourt. Well, even if some of them are being popularized by candidates who just woke up suddenly and are using your medium to propagate the party, right? What are we talking about? We are talking about structure. That is what makes a political party. Do they exist in what in Unit 9 of Ward 10? Obudioga, Ababwe 2. Do those parties exist there? Where I hold sway. Those are the issues. And of course, the River State ab initio from the inception of democracy has been PDP. How many? Governor Peter Odili, Governor Chibike Rotimi Amechi, Governor Nyeso Nwike, all of them did 8 years. Governor Nwike is about finishing his 8th year in office. And you want to compare this time, 8 years of Dr. Peter Odili, maybe 7 years of Chibike Amechi when he was still in the PDP before we were all made to go to the All Progressive Congress. But this state has always voted PDP. And when we left and went to the APC, Rivers people remained and spoke that this party, this state, is PDP. And recently in 2015, they spoke through the ballots. And they repeated the same in 2019 without minding that the APC constituted the government at the center. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's about political culture. The people are becoming entrenched. They know what they want.
Speaking of culture, still with political violence, it appears to have become cultural with our democratic process as well. Why do politicians feel the need to employ violence?
No, but sorry, Dayo, I do not agree with you. You know me very well. I'm a man of peace. Nobody can associate me with political thuggery.
Who are the people who employ the thuggery? Are they not
those who can win? Those who can't win. That's the point I'm trying to let you know. That it is easier. When a man knows I have done, like the PDP under Governor Nyeso Nwike, none of our candidates have any fear at all not to win. What the governor has done, it speaks volume.
Why would
anybody contesting elections in Emo or local government be afraid of winning?
When
the chairman of council is replicating what the governor is doing at the state level?
Why would those who can't win attack themselves?
Yes, those who can't win will. Of course, have you not heard of melodrama? I wish I came here prepared to take you on the lecture on melodrama. What people do when you don't have a script, you can just form activity. What my friends call forming of activity. You know, just to call a dog a bad name. You know how these things work.
The governor also, at the said event, expressed some optimism as regards, in view of the general elections. He said that the 2023 elections holds a brighter future.
Absolutely.
For the country's democracy with the introduction of technology and the new electoral law. Let's listen to that again.
No, I know that.
The election region threatens our democracy and constitutes an existential challenge to the nation's future stability. Therefore, deepening democratic culture and institutions for sustainable development and security is important to us as a nation, and free and fair elections with integrity remain the only path to achieving these objectives. The new electoral law, especially with the provisions of the use of technology, holds the prospects for a brighter democratic experience for Nigeria if implemented effectively.
Well, are you as optimistic as the governor is? And what do we need to ensure that we get it right, if not perfect, this time around?
There was a proviso in his speech. Did you hear the proviso? It offers a new ray of hope because with the deployment of technology, provided that, you heard him, it is what INEC tells us is anything to go by. Of course, when technology, if a man comes and is accredited, he votes, and I hear it will be seen somewhere else. So what would be the need for everybody to go and fight? There won't be any need. Anybody who wants to fight now should become a boxer and make money from boxing, which is an aspect of sports. But for here in River State, nobody can intimidate anybody here. you can take that to the bank. When a student, like I've always told you, when a student prepares for the exam, it doesn't matter where the lecturer comes from with his questions. You attend classes, make 70% attendance, right? You read, you do the revisions. Why would you be afraid?
No, one of the problems with the electoral democratic process in Nigeria as well, a major problem in fact, is voter apathy. Even before elections, you have a lot of Nigerians, or at least some, who seem unconcerned about the process. And readily the answer, if you ask them why, would be, the politicians know what they're doing already. It's predetermined who's going to do this or who's going to do that. And in many instances, the shenanigans, if I may use that term, of political parties and their candidates or politicians in general are what dissuade the people. And they feel, well, they're going to cause trouble. Let me not go out. There's going to be ballot box snatching. Let's not go out. Let's stay safe. They know they're going to write this. Let's stay safe. To those Nigerians who still feel that way right now, who still feel some apathy towards especially the coming general elections, what do you have to say to them?
Well, I think to a reasonable extent, all that has changed or is beginning to change. You could see the vigor with which people have come out. You see what is happening, especially with young voters. The registration of young voters, over 10 million young voters came out to be counted. And yesterday I tried to do a devil's advocate around my local government. You could see the massive influx of people into the office of the Independent Electoral Commission to collect their voter cards. All those who are doing that are not collecting it to remain in their homes on election day just because politicians would resort to their shenanigans, using your words. They want to get more involved, okay? Because there is no market for a political party. There can't be any particular market where only the PDP folks will go and buy. Right? If ASUU goes on strike for any reason, the children of the ruling party, whichever party that forms government, will not be told to come to school because your parents are here. They are the ones who are ruling. No. So bad governance does not know ethnic group, he does not know race, he does not know sex. So all hands are on deck, and Nigerians have become more emboldened as the women of Ogubolo in 2019. Now it takes you, for you to even rig an election in the first place, you must be in majority in a particular place for you to even attempt to rig. You can't come out solo, go to a place where you have over 100 people and you want to truncate the process. The people will say, no, we've seen things happen here. So the best thing to do for any political party is to sell your manifesto to the people. Tell the people what you want to do. And the people already know. Woe betide those who the people already know. Okay? By elections were easier, but becoming chairman of council in 2021 was a lot easier for me because of the legacies I had in 12 years, for the 12 years that I was in the House of Assembly. I constructed roads. I constructed the Mbueto Road. I gave neighborhood water scheme to communities in the local government. I built primary schools. Okay? I built town halls. Right? So these legacies were the things that any place we went to, people had one thing or the other to say about my candidature. And I had chieftaincy titles nearly across all the communities in the local government. So I didn't need to. If I had people who wanted to contest with me from the other political parties, willingly gave up their ambition. Willingly. Excuse me. Every eye beholds a matured corn.
Let's look at a few responses right now. The lines are open. Once again, we're discussing, the free and fair elections in Nigeria. What do you estimate to be the biggest challenges to that, and how can we get it right? A few calls now. 0700-93093 is the number to call. Hello, how to find to welcome. Please go on.
Yeah, good day, Dayo.
Hello, go ahead.
This is Serex calling from Port Harcourt.
Go ahead, please.
I want to ask your guest whether his own attack on Emmanuel Chinda in 2013 was part of his legacy in the House of Assembly.
Can you repeat the question, please? Didn't quite get you.
mean is the attack on Emmanuel Chinda after 2013, prior to the election. Was it part of a legacy?
Well, let me tell him. Let me quickly answer the fellow. First and foremost, you don't have your facts right. I think you should either ask Google, then come back. Then structure your questions in a way that it will make sense.
Right, and also, I should add as well, we're talking about having free and fair elections and not something that transpired in the House of Assembly in River State or anywhere else for that matter. Hello, Hartford, to welcome. Please go ahead.
I could see I've availed him if the questions were public. The question was properly structured.
Hello, you're welcome. Go ahead, please.
Listen to your guest, Dr. Chidi Lloyd.
Go ahead.
Deputy Chairman of Kwelo Government Area.
Number one, local government area.
The question you asked about how do we have a free and fair election in Nigeria? I think one of the my suggestion is that those who are saddled in politics should provide enabling environment for everybody to try. Because what 1999 Constitution told me, as amended in Chapter 2, which is fundamental objective, principle of state policy, in Section 14, 2C, it provides that the citizens should be allowed to participate in their government. And that process includes having the right to contest an election, to be voted for, and to vote. Therefore, my worry, particularly in River State, issue of the executive order, where campaigns are now being held in deep parts. I hear forests are being cleared in Abuja. A lot of things are happening, and it's not healthy for our democracy. There should be a leveling playing ground for everybody. Thank you.
You're welcome. Dr. Lloyd, you want to have any thoughts on that?
Well, I ordinarily will tell him that what CAP 2 of the 1999 Constitution, like he has said, refers to, especially the section he has quoted, which is Section 14, Sub 2, Sub A. What that section actually says is that sovereignty belongs to the people of Nigeria, from whom government, through this constitution, derive all of its powers and authority. That is what that section says. I just tried to tell him not to quote. We are not all illiterate. So if we are making a point, make clear point and educate the people. That is one of the functions of the radio. So I don't know the point he wants to make. Why bush is being cleared in Abu? I don't know if anybody chooses to clear his or her bush. How does that come? What does that have to do with the topic, subject matter under review?
Hello, Hartford, to welcome. Please go ahead.
Hello, Dayo.
Hi, go on.
Yeah, good evening.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
I greet your guest in the studio, Honorable Chidi Lloyd.
Go ahead, please.
Thanks. Good evening, sir.
Yes. My name is Kwatema.
Hello. Once again, 0700-93-093 is the number to call. John via facebook.com/NigeriaInfoPH as well. Hello, how to find to welcome. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, you're welcome.
Yeah,
please go ahead.
My name is Mrs. Pinnock is my name. Concerning the topic on ground that what will make our elections to be free and fair, for me, primarily, the issue of vote buying, and that very shamelessly by the politicians. I want to suggest if it will be possible for IMEC to include, maybe next time there is a... they should ban that particular act. It's a criminal offense for me. For people to open, it's not only anywhere else in the world other than Nigeria, where politicians bring bags of money and share. Because, you know, the people are poor and they are impoverished by the same politicians. They keep them impoverished in that situation. And during the elections, they come sharing money publicly, openly. It's not done anywhere else. That thing should be banned. And if anybody does, as to the knowledge of INEC, they should put a law in place so that such candidates will be disqualified automatically. And I think that's going to go a long way in helping our electoral system. Thank you very much.
At least one person spoke to the matter of discourse. We do have to wrap it up right now. Thanks for being a part of it. Remember to get your PVC. We've still got some days before the deadline. Go out there and vote wisely for the candidate of your choice, whom you're certain will work in your interest. Especially thanks to my guest as well, who joined the conversation also, speaking on free and fair elections in Nigeria. Dr. Chidi Lord is chairman, MOA Local Government Iran. Dr. Lord, many thanks for your time.
Yeah, about that, I'd like to speak to what the last caller said about Bufu.
15 Bayer. Seconds.
Yes. Like you said, I thank her for that. Now, you know, it takes two to tango. If there is no buyer, there won't be a seller. You know, if politicians come to want to buy your votes, please refuse.
Thank you very much. Now we go for commercial break. The news will be up at 5 o'clock. Please stay with us.